the Hyksos invade Egypt. There was no longer any royal power in Egypt. In the following weeks, the cities turned into scenes of looting. Justice ceased to function. The mob dug in the debris and in the public records, where contracts, notes and pledges, and deeds to real property were filed. The plunderers searched among the wreckage of the royal storehouses. From the papyrus, chapter 6, verse 9, forsooth, the laws of the judgment hall are cast forth. Men walk upon them in the public places. Chapter 10, verse 3, the storehouse of the king is the common property of everyone. The papyrus furnishes information as to what happened afterwards. The earth's crust repeatedly contracted in violent spasms, years of noise. The roads became impassable, dragged, and flooded. Papyrus chapter 12, verse 11f. The realm was depopulated, and Ibbur bewails the lack of people. The residence of the pharaoh was a heap of ruins. Governmental authority was completely shattered. Quote, behold, the chiefs of the land flee. Chapter 8, verse 14. Behold, no offices are in their right place, like a frightened herd without the herdsman. Chapter 9, verse 2. The poor men who ran away roamed the desert. Slaves who remained in Egypt raised their heads. From the papyrus, chapter 6, verse 7. Forsooth, public offices are opened and their census lists are taken away. Then invaders approached out of the gloom of the desert. They crossed the borders and entered the shattered land. From the papyrus, chapter 3, verse 1. Forsooth, the desert is throughout the land. The gnomes are laid waste. A foreign tribe from abroad has come to Egypt. The catastrophe that rendered Egypt defenseless was a signal to the tribes of the Arabian desert. From the papyrus, chapter 15, verse 1. What has happened? Through it is to cause the Asiatics to know the condition of the land. Chapter 14, verse 11. Men, blank, they have come to an end for themselves. There are none found to stand and protect themselves. Prostrated by the appalling blows of nature, the Egyptians did not defend themselves. It is not clear whether a million of people, in the next sentence, is the number of the perished or of the intruders. From the papyrus, chapter 12, verse 6ff. Today, fear blank more than a million people. Not seen, blank, enemies, blank, enter into the temples, blank, weep. To all the previous plagues, this was added. Pillagers completed the destruction, killing and raping. The double catastrophe, caused by nature and by the invasion, destroyed all class distinction and brought about a social revolution. Quote, behold, noble ladies go hungry. Quote, behold, he who slept without a wife through want finds precious things. Quote, he who passed the night in squalor raised his head. Quote, she who looked at her face in the water is possessor of a mirror. It was anarchy. Nobody worked. Quote, behold, no craftsmen work. Quote, a man strikes his brother, the son of his mother. Quote, men sit behind the bushes until the benighted traveler comes in order to plunder his burden. Quote, behold, one uses violence against another. If three men journey upon a road, they are found to be two men. The greater number slay the less. The land is as a weed that destroys men. Quote, how terrible it is! What am I to do? Laments Ibbur. Woe is me because of the misery in this time! Several expressions of Ibbur indicate that the text of the papyrus was composed shortly after the major catastrophe. The aftermath and the subsequent disturbances of nature were not yet at their end. The starting point of this research was this. The exodus from Egypt took place at the time of a great natural catastrophe. In order to find the time of the exodus in Egyptian history, we had to search for some record of catastrophe in the physical world. This record is contained in the papyrus Ibbur. Many parts of the papyrus are missing. The beginning and the end, doubtless containing details, possibly names, are destroyed, but what is preserved is sufficient to impress us with this fact. Before us is not merely the story of a catastrophe, but an Egyptian version of the plagues. It was surprising to find in the papyrus in addition to the story of dwellers in marshes and poor men who fled the land scourged by plagues, laments about the invaders who came from the desert of Asia, preyed on the disorganized country, and became its violent oppressors. Amu, or the Hyksos, were the invaders who ruled Egypt during the centuries that separate the period of the Middle Kingdom from that of the New Kingdom. In a subsequent section, the divergent views on the date of origin of the Papyrus of Ippur will be presented. Pi-Hahiroth. In the 60s of the last century, in El Arish, a town on the border between Egypt and Palestine, the attention of a traveler was attracted to a shrine, Naos, of black granite inscribed with hieroglyphics all over its surface. It was used by the Arabs of the locality as a cattle trough. An account of this shrine and a partial translation of the text were published in 1890. The shrine was still being used as a trough. Sometime during the present century, the stone was brought to the Museum of Ismailia, and a new attempt to translate the text was undertaken. Since its discovery, the monolith of El Arish has been mentioned only infrequently, and its strange text has been regarded as rather mythological, though kings, residences, and geographical places are named and an invasion of foreigners described. The names of deities appearing in the text are royal cognomens. The inscription is of the Ptolemaic or Hellenistic age, but the events related are of a much earlier period, that of King Tom and his successor. In this inscription, the name of King Tom is written in a royal cartouche, a fact that points to the historical background of the text. The text, as will be demonstrated, deserves attentive study and a new definitive translation. Not even the sequence of the text is conclusively established. In the mutilated text, there are these lines. The land was in great affliction. Evil fell on this earth. It was a great upheaval in the residence. Nobody left the palace during 9 days, and during those 9 days of upheaval, there was such a tempest that neither the men nor the gods could see the faces of their next. Similar mention of a darkness that lasted a number of days, that confined everyone to his place, that was accompanied by a great upheaval, and that was so complete that no one could discern the face of his neighbor, is found in the Book of Exodus, in the story of the ninth plague. Exodus chapter 10 verses 22-23. And there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. The Egyptian text differs from the Hebrew in that it numbers 9 days of darkness. A strong wind is mentioned in the scriptures in connection with the removal of the preceding plague, the locusts. They were brought by the east wind and covered the face of the whole earth so that the land was darkened. Exodus chapter 10, verse 13. And they were removed by a mighty strong west wind. Exodus 10, chapter 19. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. Immediately thereafter came the ninth plague, the thick darkness. In the story of the darkness in Egypt, as told in old Midrash books, additional details are given. The plague of darkness endured 7 days. During the first 3 days, no one could still change his position. During the next 3 days, one could not stir from his place. The rabbinical sources, so describing the calamity of darkness, are numerous. Josephus Flavius and Philo the Alexandrian of the first century of the present era also belong to what may be called rabbinical sources. The collation of this material presents the following picture. Quote, "Exceeding strong west wind endured 7 days. All the time the land was enveloped in darkness. The darkness was of such a nature that it could not be dispelled by artificial means. The light of the fire was either extinguished by the violence of the storm, or else it was made invisible and swallowed up in the density of the darkness. None was able to speak or to hear, nor could anyone venture to take food, but they lay themselves down, their outward senses in a trance. Thus they remained, overwhelmed by the affliction. The last, the seventh day of darkness, overtook the land when the Israelites were at the Sea of Passage. In the book of Exodus, it is said that it was a cloud and a darkness, so that the camp of the Egyptians came not near the camp of the Israelites all the night. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, Tradition puts the time from the 10th plague, which followed immediately the plague of darkness, until the passage of the sea at 6 days and a few hours. The exodus that followed the night of the 10th plague is commemorated on the first day of Passover, 15th day of Nisan, and the passage of the sea on the last, the 7th day of Passover, 21st day of Nisan. The Hebrew version of the plague of darkness is not unlike the Egyptian version. It was not the darkness of a quiet night. A violent storm rushed in fine ashes. Quote, "The darkness came from the hell and could be felt." End quote. In the tempest and darkness that lasted for days and nights, it was difficult to measure time. Men, overwhelmed by misfortune, were bereft of exact judgment of the passage of time. Under such circumstances of the slight discrepancy between the text on the stone, 9 days of darkness, and the tradition of Midrashim, 7 days of darkness, is negligible. The Hebrew sources tell that cities were devastated in the darkness and that many Israelites were among the dead from the ninth plague. The land fell into distress and ruin. Quote, "Evil fell upon this earth. The earth is in a great affliction, a great disturbance in the residents." End quote. Our passages on the shrine describing the 9 days of darkness and tempest when nobody could see anything and none could leave the palace. In the midst of the savageries of nature, His Majesty of Shaul assembled his hosts and ordered them to follow him to regions where he promised they would again see light. Quote, "We shall see our father, Ra Harakhti, in the luminous region of Bakit." End quote. Under cover of darkness, intruders from the desert approached the borders of Egypt. Quote, "His Majesty of Shaul went to battle against the companions of Apapi." End quote. Apapi was the fierce god of darkness. The king and his hosts never returned. They perished. Quote, "Now when the majesty of Ra Harmachis, Harakhti, fought with the evildoers in this pool, the place of the whirlpool, the evildoers prevailed not over His Majesty. His Majesty leapt into the so-called place of the whirlpool." And in the book of Exodus it is related, chapter 14, verses 27 and 28, "The sea returned to his strength, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them." Pharaoh himself perished too, from Exodus chapter 15, verse 19. "For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them." The story of the darkness in Egypt, as told in Hebrew and Egyptian sources, is very similar. The death of the Pharaoh in the whirling waters is also similar in both Hebrew and Egyptian sources, and the value of this similarity is enhanced by the fact that in both versions, the Pharaoh perished in a whirlpool during or after the days of the great darkness and violent hurricane. And yet, even a striking similarity is not identity. The subject of the two records should be regarded as identical only if some detail can be found in both versions, the Hebrew and the Egyptian, that cannot be attributed to chance. The march of the Pharaoh with his hosts is related amidst the description of the great upheaval in the residence and the tempest that made the land dark. He arrived at a place designated by name. Quote, "His Majesty," here words are missing, "finds on this place called Pi Karoti." A few lines later, it is said that he was thrown by a great force. He was thrown by the whirlpool high in the air. He departed to heaven. He was no longer alive. The explanation of the translator of the text concerning this geographical designation, Pi Karoti, is not known except in this example. Here, attempted identification of the subject of the two versions, the Hebrew and the Egyptian, is not incorrect that the locality where the Pharaoh perished was a place by the Sea of Passage, from Exodus chapter 14, verse 9. "But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and overtook them encamping by the sea, beside Pi Hahiroth, Kiroth." Pi Karoti is Pi Kiroth of the Hebrew text. It is the same place. It is the same pursuit. It is erroneous to say that the name is meant nowhere else except on the shrine. The inscription on the shrine relates that after a time, a son of the Pharaoh, His Majesty Geb, set out himself. Quote, "He asks information." End quote. the eyewitnesses from neighboring abodes, quote, give him the information about all that happened to Ra and Yet Mebes, the combats of the King Taum, end quote. All who accompanied the prince were killed by a terrible blast, and the prince, His Majesty Gib, sustained burns before he returned from his expeditions to seek his father, who had perished. Invaders approaching by way of Yat Nebes came in the gloom and overpowered Egypt. Quote, the children of Apopi, the rebels that are at Al-Shawarau, not identified, has a sign dry, meaning desert, and in the desert they approached by way of Yat Nebes and fell upon Egypt at the fall of darkness. They conquered only to destroy. These rebels, they came from the mountains of the Orient by the way of Yat Nebes. End quote. The prince retreated before the invaders. He did not return to Heliopolis. Quote, he did not go on with, or like, the companions of the thieves of the scepter. End quote. He was robbed of his heritage. He secluded himself and the provincial residents of High Taui, quote, in the land of the plants Hanu. End quote. From there, he made an attempt, entirely unsuccessful, to communicate with, quote, the foreigners and the Amu that they leave the country. In his helplessness, he recalled how his father, who succumbed in the whirlpool, in better days had battled all the rebels and, quote, massacred the children of Apopi. After a time, the air cooled off and the countries dried. It is not known what happened to the unhappy prince. His end was certainly sad. Egypt was devastated by the tempest and scorched by fire. The residence was seized by the Amu. The inscription on the shrine at El Arish says that the name of the pharaoh who perished in the whirlpool was Tom or Tom. It is of interest that Pi Tom means the abode of Tom. Pitom was one of the two cities built by the Israelite slaves for the pharaoh of oppression. In Manetho, the pharaoh in whose days the blast of heavenly displeasure fell upon Egypt, preceding the invasion of the Hyksos, is called Ptolemaeus or Timaeus. The question, centuries or even millennia old, as to where the Sea of Passage was, can be solved with the help of the inscription on the shrine. On the basis of certain indications in the text, Pi Hahiroth, where the events took place, was on the way from Memphis to Pisapet.